This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. The Bills add yet another free agent. They've signed a backup cornerback or a cornerback. I'm not going to call him backup. They signed free agent E.J. Gaines to a one-year contract today. Back for a second stint with the Bills. Gaines played corner for the Bills a couple of years ago, 2017 season. The Bills won 8, lost 3. That was his one-loss record when he was in the lineup for the Bills in 2017. He was acquired in August of 2017 in the Sammy Watkins trade with the Rams. Played 11 games in 2017, went on to sign with the Cleveland Browns last year. With Cleveland, appeared in just 6 games, started 2, went on to injured reserve after a concussion. E.J. Gaines back with the Buffalo Bills. We had him on the show at noon today. He is back. Over the weekend, the Bills signed a couple of others free agents. Tight end Jake Fisher, longtime offensive lineman who signs with the Bills to play tight end, spent 4 seasons with Cincinnati. And they signed linebacker Maurice Alexander. He was with the. He spent 4 seasons with the Rams, spent last season with Seattle, came into the league as a 4th-round pick. Alexander is a special teamer right now for the Buffalo Bills. Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement late yesterday after 9 years with the New England Patriots. His agent told ESPN this morning he wouldn't be surprised if Gronkowski reconsidered in the future. John Mara, owner of the Giants, the only no vote for an alternative to onside kicks on the competition committee meeting in Arizona at the NFL meetings this week. Mara said, what are we, the Arena League? The proposal is to provide a 4th-and-15 alternative option to the onside kick. We'll talk more about that this hour. Season ended for both UB basketball teams yesterday. The men's team lost to Texas Tech 78-58 in the second round of the NCAA tournament in Tulsa. The women's team gave a run at University of Connecticut, but the UB women lost to Connecticut 84-72. Sierra Dillard with 29 points for the UB Bulls in that game. Sabres hockey tonight. They're in New Jersey. Game 2 of their road trip. Face-off 7 o'clock tonight for the Buffalo Sabres. Down to what, 8 games left in this regular season. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. Steve is back after a long, well-deserved vacation. I added the right words. Yeah. We missed you, Steve. It's a different show with you here. I'm glad you're here.
I appreciate that. It's nice to be back. It really is.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Good to be on the line right now with Bills offensive lineman Jeremiah Searles, entering his 6th season in the league. He's played with the Chargers, with the Vikings, and the Buffalo Bills. 12 games played for the Bills last year, including 5 starts towards the end of the season. Jeremiah Searles on the line with me, John Murphy, and Steve Tasker from his home in Nebraska. Hello, Jeremiah. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on. Good to be back.
You got to be getting ready to come here, I would think, a week, maybe 2 weeks. What did we say? 3 weeks from today is the first day of the offseason, right?
Yep. Can't wait.
Hey, we want to talk to you about your offseason, which took an interesting turn over the last couple of weeks. The flooding around your home in Nebraska causing a ton of damage. If you can, Jeremiah, tell us where are you in Nebraska? Are you in Lincoln?
Yeah, so I live in Lincoln. Me and Spencer actually live together here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Spencer being from here, and he'd call him his home now. We stay here, but the devastating flooding has affected people that I know, people that he knows, family. I mean, all over the northern and the eastern part of the state. It's been devastating.
And this is flooding over the last month or so, this all came about?
Just the last couple of weeks.
Couple weeks.
Remember, there's that huge, like, cyclone, hurricane, blizzard that hit Colorado.
Right.
Well, as that was hitting Colorado with the snow, it was hammering the northeast part of our state with snow, but also a little farther east was just pounding in rain. And the problem was everything here was still frozen. I mean, everything here was still full winter, and all of a sudden, everything started raining, which then thawed everything, which then flooded everything, and the water had nowhere to go.
Yeah, 93 counties have declared a state of emergency. I mean, we're seeing some pictures now here on our MSG feed. There are houses all the way up to the eaves of the roofs. I grew up in Kansas, so Nebraska's not much different. It's flat. And once, if the water's, there's no place for it to run except to the Gulf of Mexico, and it's going to take weeks to get. I mean, are you seeing this flood waters go back down now? Is it starting to recede at all?
It's starting to recede. The problem is some of the places that flooded still just have what looks like lakes in them. I mean, these farmers' fields that, I mean, we went up to when we did our event up in Schuyler, Nebraska last Thursday, we went and looked at some of the damage. I mean, I'm talking entire highways are just like, looks like earthquakes hit them because they washed all the foundation out from underneath them, and then they just caved in on themselves.
Jeremiah, I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but are there rivers that have overflooded their banks, or is this just standing water?
No, it's the Platte River, the Elkhorn River, and one other river. I can't think of the name of it right now. They just all just rose so fast. And the other problem was that they were all frozen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you look, there's some pictures of people that look like they have icebergs in their fields because they do. I mean, these rivers had 2-3 feet of ice, and all of a sudden the floodwaters came and lifted the ice and broke the ice into these chunks and then flooded it. And then once the water receded, there's a farm in Atkinson, Nebraska, that literally is just riddled with what looks like icebergs.
Wow. And nothing like this has ever happened before out your way, huh, Jeremiah?
Not while I've been alive. They say this is like a once-in-a-century type flood.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you and Spencer Long did to kind of help out. I mean, what came up with this idea. Is this something you did every year? Is this just a spur of the moment, say, hey, we got to help out somehow, and here's what we're going to do?
Kind of spur of the moment. About a week ago, we got done working out here at the university. We got home to my place, and we were eating lunch, and we were like, man, we should do something. But it's a lot of like, man, what do you even do? Where do you even start? And so I called a buddy of mine who worked in the government up in the northern part of Nebraska. His name's Saul. And I was like, hey, we want to do something to help, but we don't really know what to do. And he's like, all right, I have an idea. And his idea was, let's help the people that are helping, a.k.a. the first responders, the sheriff's department, the firefighters, the volunteers. Like, those dudes were running on absolute fumes because they've just been going nonstop trying to get people out, like rescue people, trying to keep people from dying. I mean, cattle from dying. And so we were like, okay, let's put on a dinner. So we just put on a dinner, and we invited all those people, and we invited all the people that have been misplaced or displaced from this flood. And we just decided, let's feed them, bring them in, just be there, talk to them, just pray with them, talk with them, just kind of try and be something positive in this all this negative.
Wow.
And we came together with about 48 hours. We got to a Hy-Vee, which is a local grocery store. We got them to give us food at cost. So we were able to feed about 350 people.
Wow.
And it was really neat. We were there just for about 3 hours, just helping with give supplies out and just really anything anyone needed. We were just there. And that was a great place for us to start. This week, we're going to kind of figure out what the next step is as far as where do we go from here, because the work is just getting started. Yeah, the waters have receded, but now the real devastation starts to set in.
And this dinner was in Schuyler, Nebraska. How far away from your place in Lincoln is that?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. It's out there. And is most of the flooding in rural areas, would you say, Jeremiah?
It is. And that's the problem, that it's all volunteer firefighters, volunteer sheriffs. I mean, these aren't the big fire stations that you think can go. I mean, farmers with airboats were the ones that were rescuing people.
Right.
These places don't have airboats.
No.
I mean, that's just not something that they have. So, I mean, it was people, like, risking their own lives to go save people off of when the floodwaters hit. I mean, there's over $500 million, I think, in cattle loss.
Right.
Because driving to Columbus, you just saw dead cows everywhere.
Wow.
That were just washed away. One guy I was talking to, his entire house started flooding. He's about 80 years old. His house started flooding. His wife started having a heart issue, so they rushed to the hospital, and then the people at the hospital are like, hey, you can't go back to your house. It burned to the ground.
Oh.
And, right. I mean, this dude's telling us with tears in his eyes, like, what am I going to do? I'm 80 years old.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just gut-wrenching. You just heard story after story of, like, yeah, everything I owned is gone. One of my buddies lives on his family's farm in a trailer, like a double wide out on his family's farm. And
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh, my dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still...
And it's interesting, too. You can't really even prepare for it, because it's once-in-a-100-year kind of flood, and it was a confluence of weather patterns as well as the time of year that it happened in that all came together to form this weather event that, you know, really kind of scraped the earth clean of all these homes and fields and livestock and all these industries out there that are laid to waste now.
Right. I mean, a lot of these people didn't have flood insurance because they'd never been flooded before.
I know what you mean, because they don't get enough rain out there. They're praying for rain, right? Because they want,
they've got crops,
they've got livestock. They never get enough rain. And then when this happens, it's like, wait a minute. They don't. Nobody has flood insurance. That's crazy.
No, no one has flood insurance, which is the problem. You can't insure cattle. So people that lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in cattle are going to have to sell their farms.
Right.
I mean, we're going to see a huge agricultural hit this year out of Nebraska because I'm telling you, guys aren't going to be able to plant because their fields are going to be so wet, so gross, the dirt's gone. I mean, fields are toast. It's down to sand.
Right.
Because the water just came through and just took everything, man. It's devastating.
With Bills offensive lineman Jeremiah Searles talking about the Nebraska flood and what he and his teammate, Bills teammate Spencer Long, have done to try to help things out there. I'm curious, Jeremiah, when you tell us the story of the 80-year-old man who lost his home and his home burned to the ground, what was the mood of the event you had last Thursday? Was it all like doom and gloom, or were people just happy to be together and maybe trying to kindle some hope in their lives out there?
That's kind of what it was. Honestly, it was surprising. The resiliency of the Nebraskans are surprising. We were able to get a community that had just been ripped apart and bring them together, and a lot of it was just fellowship, sitting, talking. We would share stories and try and get some laughs and some smiles and talking football and just being very vulnerable to these people. Just letting them know, hey, we're here as Nebraskans. We're not here as NFL players or Husker players. We're here as fellow Nebraskans that want to take care of our own. And we have been blessed with have the means to do something, and so we are doing something. And I think that they really were able to embrace that. And so we were able to have a great time with these guys, and that was kind of what we wanted, just kind of a reprieve from real life, or even if it was
sure.
just for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Just come eat some food, enjoy each other's company, and then go back to work. And so it was actually a really positive environment there.
Well, it's excellent that you guys jumped in and helped these people. I remember over a decade ago, I went to Louisiana and helped in hurricane relief after Hurricane Katrina. And it's easy for us to have you on, and I just want to make sure you understand. I kind of know where you're coming from. It's easy enough for us to have you on one day and say, hey, you did this nice thing. But this catastrophe, I'll call it a disaster, a catastrophe that happened in Nebraska, it's not going to go away in just a week, a couple of days when the waters go down. This is going to be life-changing for thousands of people in the heartland of America. I mean, literally life-changing. Is it not? And this is not going to go away in just a couple of weeks when things dry out.
No, that's the thing. Like I said, this is going to change the course of history for some of these families. Some of these families that have had farms for hundreds of years are going to have to sell because they're not going to be able to make crops this year. I mean, and it's already was supposed to be a down year in the agricultural world. And so now you add this on top of it. If you didn't insure your stuff because you don't have flood insurance, you could be out hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, I mean, you can't plant. And when you can't plant, you can't harvest. I mean, it's just this trickle effect that's going to affect, like you said, thousands of people here.
Jeremiah, you've mentioned your teammate Spencer Long, are looking for what's next to do. And while you still think through that, I wonder if there's anything that Bills fans listening in today might be able to do. Is there any place to send relief money or something like that? You know anything like that?
Yeah. So me and Spencer are actually going to try and set something up this week. We are trying to think what the best place to send the money to is because, again, where do you start?
Yeah.
And I think what we decided was we want to try and get money raised for these rural first responders. Because if we can get money to the people in the rural areas that are first responders, they'll know where they need to put it. We don't know where the little county in northeast Nebraska, what did they lose? There's Schuyler versus Columbus versus all these little counties. But if we can get the money to the people that actually understand what they need to restore that county, we think that's the best thing. So we're going to try and set up a fundraiser or a GoFundMe or something through a charity that we can send money to for that. And that's in the works that we're getting started on this week. And once we have that set up, we're going to blast it out on social media. I'll reach out to the Bills, and they said they'd be more than willing to help send it out too. So I think this week, once we get something set up, we'll be able to send that out.
Yeah, make sure you keep us in the loop on that. We'd like to help with that.
Absolutely. I appreciate that a lot, guys.
Hey, is it appropriate to ask you a couple of football questions while we got you on the line?
Oh, yeah, let's do it, man.
Okay. If you said no, I was perfectly okay with doing that. But as you mentioned, you're living with Spencer Long. We talked to Spencer when he signed here with the Bills in February. You guys go way back to college teammates, right, and good friends. And did you tell you this, or has he said that he's living in your basement the last we heard?
Yep, he's still in my basement. My wife is evicting him here in a few weeks because we are expecting our first in August.
Right.
And so he is getting evicted so we can set up the nursery. So he's not pumped about that, but we'll move up and we'll hang out in Buffalo together.
Well, just remind him he's a professional athlete and he just signed a new contract. He can afford to get his own place.
An apartment.
We bumped his rent a little bit.
Yeah, right? I mean, you can put him in the loft in your garage or something. I mean, the guy's got to have, got to be able to contribute something to society at large. But congratulations on the new arrival coming up, and I'm sure you're probably not going to name him Spencer, but when you show up, you guys planning on arriving out here together? You going to road trip out here together, or are you going to just fly in together?
He's actually going to head out a little bit early. He's got to get his apartment and stuff set up out there. Me and Ike Butker are actually going to live together. We set that up last year. And so I wasn't going to bail on Ike once Spencer signed, and he respects that. So me and Ike have a place together out there that we're going to hang out through OTAs because my wife's not going to come up because she's in full nest mode. But during camp, we'll ride up together, but he's going to hang out up there, I think, for an extra week before me just to try and get his apartment, everything set up, because he's got to get all his stuff moved from Jersey out there.
Hey, Jeremiah, Spencer Long is one of five new offensive linemen signed by the Bills since you re-signed back in January. The landscape on the offensive line has changed a lot in the last month or so, huh?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that room's different. I'm excited. A lot of competition in that room now. I mean, I don't think anything's given to anyone except for maybe Mitch Morris, who has 11 million reasons why he'll start at center. But I think other than that, there's a lot of competition that's going to be open there. I think that there's a lot of opportunity for everyone, and I think that talking with Coach Johnson, I think that we're going to all have a great chance to compete in the room, and that's all you can ask for in this league. I mean, that's all I've ever asked for my 6 years, is a chance to compete, a chance to be competitive, and a chance to go earn a spot. And I think we're all going to get that chance, and I'm excited for it, man.
Have you ever worked with Coach Bobby Johnson before, any other NFL stops?
He worked me out when he was with the Lions as I was coming out of college, but other than that, no.
Okay.
It is going to be a different landscape, and there's going to be so many new faces. I mean, there's going to be more new faces and strangers in that room than there are guys who actually know each other's names. It's going to be it's going to look different in there, plus the new coaching staff as well. So it's almost like a completely new team from just 3 months ago.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a whole new room, and I think that one of my favorite quotes that I learned from here in college is competition breeds greatness. So, I mean, I don't think if people want to shy away from competition, I think they'll get weeded out pretty quick. But if you step up to the plate and you take advantage of the opportunity that you get, it's only going to make the guy in front of you stronger. It's going to make the guy behind you stronger. And it's going to make you stronger ultimately, because if you're in front, you're going to constantly be looking over your shoulder. And if you're behind, you're going to be chasing that guy in front of you.
Even with, the fact that they added five new offensive linemen, Jeremy, I wonder, are you impressed with the effort the Bills have made this offseason so far, with the draft even a month away, to improve offensively? I mean, they've really kind of focused on that side of the ball this last month.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, Mr. Bean, have a great vision for what they wanted out of this free agency, and I think they're attacking it in the right way. And so I think that they're really just kind of really honing in on what they need, what they want, and they have a vision for where this team is going, and I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Well, we're excited to have you. Keep us in mind when you come up with your next plan and have an idea on how to get Bills fans involved in helping out the effort in Nebraska. Please make sure you let us know, Jeremiah. We'll help you out as much as we can.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Thank you, and congratulations for this move in Nebraska. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you for taking part in that. And it's for a lot of people who really need it, and I appreciate your effort.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Jeremiah Searles, Bills offensive lineman. He and his buddy, his Bills teammate now, Spencer Long, put together a dinner last Thursday in Nebraska to help the flood relief effort. Three-quarters of the 93 counties in Nebraska declared a state of emergency. And as Jeremiah said, they've got other plans coming out to
I grew up south in Kansas, which is just straight south. It's the next state south. And they're much similar.
Yeah.
Nebraska gets a little bit more moisture on a regular basis than Kansas does. They grow corn instead of wheat like Kansas does. Wheat needs less water, and that's what the farmers grow out there. When you go up to Nebraska.
No, who has corn? Nebraska has corn. Kansas has wheat.
And Kansas has wheat.
Gotcha. I didn't know that.
And because of the climate. But the counties in the western part of the state are very similar in the way they're set up. I went to a community public high school in a county that had less than 2,000 people in the entire county. It was 23 miles across and 25 miles north-south. It's a big area. Only less than 2,000 people live there in that whole county. That's the kind of country you're looking at. And everybody, everything's tied up in land and farm and farming and equipment, houses, and some livestock. There are great big feedlots out there. So there's not that many people out there like you would think about in a New Jersey, even in the rural parts of New Jersey or in the rural parts of here in Western New York. It's not that many people like there are here. But the damage is devastating, and it could have, given the widespread of this in the entire state, 93 counties, it could have an economic impact that is felt by a lot of us around the country. It's going to be interesting to see how this transpires the rest of the way, because it's a huge disaster out there.
The pictures that we saw on the MSG feed are amazing. I mean, houses up to the, as you said,
there are no
eaves.
Hills out there.
Yeah.
If it's water standing, it's standing for a couple of hundred square miles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. Doesn't it? There's no hills or valleys there. Even the riverbeds are barely lower than the surrounding land. It just doesn't. There's no elevation change,
yeah.
And it's unbelievable. I don't know where the water just. You have to wait for it to soak in. I guess because it's
crazy.
It's not gonna. Doesn't have anywhere to run. It can run. You know, it's like on a flat table.
Well, congratulations to Jeremiah and Spencer Long. And this is going to sound not self-serving, but we always hear about the players who get in trouble, get arrested, create issues for their teams, do stuff off the field. It's important to know that guys like Jeremiah and
Spencer
are doing this of their own volition, without TV cameras, they didn't call and ask us to get
we
on
went
the show.
To, we went to them. We solicited and said, hey, what
you know
are you
what
doing?
I mean?
Let
that happens in the NFL. You know that. They're
all
guys,
the time.
They're good people.
And
in
people
the NFL.
Get that. They hear Lorenzo on here all the time. Yeah. And Lorenzo is quickly becoming legendary here in Buffalo.
Yeah.
As short a time as he's been here for over the two or three going into his fourth year. You know, these guys get on it.
Yeah.
They help out.
Yep.
And it's a,
good
it's a
for
great
them.
Thing to see.
Happy for him. Hey, we got an interesting Twitter poll today, getting a ton of response, not all positive. Who's the best athlete ever from Western New York, any sport? The reason this came about, Rob Gronkowski announced last night that he's stepping aside, leaving the Patriots, retiring from the NFL. So we put up a Twitter poll with four choices, Gronkowski, Patrick Kane, Bob Lanier, Warren Spahn. Who's the best athlete from Western New York? You may have another idea. We'll talk about it on the phones and on Twitter when we come back. Also, NFL true or false when we return. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker, in case you've forgotten. He's back with us after a long vacation. Happy to have him back, though. The show is... what are you laughing about? I'm happy to have you back. I'm genuinely
glad.
Happy.
I'm glad.
I'm shaving this morning. I said to my wife, hey, we get Stevie back today. Mary said, who? No. I'm glad to have you. I'm glad to have you back. Got an interesting... you wouldn't laugh at that.
I'm like, getting 13...
No, you won't laugh at that in 2 weeks.
I'm 13% on your wife's list of four favorite co-hosts. So I'm getting 13% on that poll.
No, that's not true. Speaking of polls, because of Gronkowski's retirement, who's the best athlete ever, any sport, Western New York? We put up four names. We're getting a lot of suggestions. But on our Twitter poll, Patrick Kane gets 46% of the vote. But Rob Gronkowski gets 28%. Warren Spahn gets 14%. Bob Lanier gets 13%. I find that interesting, Steve. I think you're absolutely right. You said it right out of the box. Twitter will provide a certain demographic that may not appreciate Warren Spahn or Bob Lanier as much as some of the others. And the Patrick Kane vote, I'm surprised.
It's hockey
by that.
Season.
That's almost half of them.
It's hockey season, and this guy's been dominant in a league that is – listen, Buffalo knows good hockey players when they see him. And to see a guy that grew up here in town go out and win
– First overall pick. Yeah.
Scored a couple of goals in cup-winning games. I mean,
I get it.
That's rare.
Yep.
It's rare. Forget that he grew up here in Buffalo. The guy's, he's a dominant in a real life sport right this minute. I mean, he is as good a hockey player as there is in the league right now, and has been for a while.
We'll take phone calls on this, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. From the tweet sheet from Cannibal King. Got an ad for Fredonia native Jen Sir. 17 U.S. championships, 2 gold, 3 silver, 1 bronze Olympic medal, past number one pole vaulter in the world, indoor world record holder. Can't argue with any of that. She is outstanding and a great person, too. I've met her several times.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Cannibal King says, shout out for Sal Magley, too. Pitched into his 42nd in National League MVP voting at 39. Great record for Sal Magley. Great shout out. I do think if you put him side by side, Warren Spahn would be ahead of Sal Magley, but I get that. I know that. Niagara Falls, Sal Magley.
Yeah, and then also from Brian Faulkner, Bob Lanier. Most don't know Bob was not the same player after his knee injury in college. He played the first year on a bad, unhealed knee. Eight-time All-Star in the NBA, All-Star MVP. He's a Hall of Famer. He's also great off the court, winner of many community awards. Bob Lanier also getting some votes for that. Warren Spahn is a close second to Patrick Kane.
This is a good one. I read this one earlier.
Yeah, Dave Delaney.
This is from Dave Delaney.
Warren Spahn is a close second to Patrick Kane, but Gronk? Nope. Gronk played 16 regular season games / seasons, and in each game was on the field for about 30 minutes and actively engaged in football action for a fraction of that time, whereas Kane is actively skating 20 minutes a game. I get it, but you know what?
I get it, but I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, he's going down a road I find a hard time going. I don't think you discount a guy because of the sport that he played. Gronkowski was and you can make the exact same argument in Gronk's favor. He wasn't asked to do as much, but contributed more for his team. You know what I'm saying? Now, Pat Kane contributed everything. The guy, when he's on the ice, he's all of that, and he does a lot of things for that team. But if they could use him 50 minutes a game, they would use him in a 60-minute game. If they could skate him every single moment, they would. You're not going to do that in football because nobody plays. You know, no guys don't go both ways. In football. So it's hard to compare or detract or add to a guy's contribution because of the sport he played in. So I think that's – I mean, I get your point, but I don't know that the point is valid because of the cross-referencing between football and hockey. I mean
– I'm not sure, and I don't want to dive into it too much, but is Dave Delaney on Twitter suggesting that football is not – what, as athletic as some of the other sports, as hockey? I don't know. Is that the suggestion?
I don't know what the core point is, but you're right. It's I don't know that it's – that's why I don't think it holds water.
I don't either.
All right, here's another one from Big Bills fan, 1965. To win 3 Super Bowls in 9 years is amazing, and as a Bills fan, I have to give Gronk his due. He was an awesome pass blocker. Rob's talent as a tight end is second to none. He came every year, every game, and gave his all, leaving it on the field. By far – this Hall of Famer is the true best. And that's from a big Bills fan. And there's a lot of people who see that. But then again, I mean, what are you going to say about a guy like Pat Kane, who won some Stanley Cups? That team was not very good before Pat Kane, and they're really good since him. And now they've kind of busted it up, and they're struggling now. But he's still having really good success. So both those guys are dominant players in their own right.
One more from the tweet sheet. Bill Gilligan, all due respect to the other guys on the list, Warren Spahn is the greatest Buffalo athlete, and it's not that close, he says. Unfortunately, not that many currently alive ever saw him play. I didn't, he said. But look at his numbers. He's the greatest of all time. Yeah. My vote would go to Warren Spahn, Steve.
I'm beginning to agree. when you think about being that level – and this is, let's face it, baseball is a game about statistics. I mean, they pull it apart. They computerize that game quick. I mean, it was all about numbers. And Warren Spahn had better numbers than any left-handed pitcher of all time.
More wins.
The guy got it done. We had a shot here, and for those of you watching on MSG, we're watching some clips. I mean, the guy hit a home run, lefty, you know, in one of these shots. And his ability to win games, I mean, that's it. And let's face it too. In his era, baseball was the NFL. Now they were the 800-pound gorilla on the American sports landscape. Baseball was the sport, the only sport that mattered. Everybody watched it. Everybody played it. Everybody wanted to, knew a lot about it. It was the centerpiece of the American sports landscape. And Warren Spahn was the greatest ever left-handed pitcher. To pick up a baseball.
I mean, we're talking about Hall of Famers here, right, with Lanier and Spahn. Gronkowski's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Pat Kane's going to be a Hall of Fame. Now you got a Hall of Famer, Warren Spahn, who is not just a Hall of Famer, but the greatest at his position, left-handed pitcher, the winningest anyway, left-handed pitcher of all time. That gets my attention.
All time means like back into the 1800s.
Yeah, more than 100 years.
We'll listen to
some of the other arguments for sure.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of phone calls we'll take here. Pat in Buffalo. Hello, Pat. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Murph. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I agree with that Warren Spahn is probably the best, but just to be a devil's advocate, what about Jimmy Slattery? You know, what earlier about, you know, the baseball was the biggest sport, and one of the callers said in their time, and boxing in the 30s and 40s, was there anything other than baseball bigger?
Nope. You're right.
You're
and
right.
Slattery was 20s and 30s or 30s and 40s. I'm not quite up to date on his career. And he did win championships, right? Didn't he win a vacated light heavyweight title or something?
He won a couple titles.
Did he?
Lost, came back, lost, won, you know, so.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Know, a particular, and I boxing think, champion from an era when boxing was preeminent? Yeah,
that's one of the things you can also, we've had such a problem today in cross, you know, comparing apples and oranges, hockey to baseball, football to basketball. And now you got, you know, you're comparing baseball to boxing. But all of these sports, particularly in our country, they've all had eras where they were very big, big, important sports. Boxing was much bigger in the last century, early in the mid to last century, than it is now. Football is big now. It's been big for 20, 25 years, 30 years. Baseball was very big in the 40s, 50s, 60s in America. And you know, and now in the NHL particularly, it gets a little bit more regional even at this point in history. But now you talk about Buffalo, we know what's going on in hockey as well as any city in the United States. And to have a guy who grew up here be as dominant as he has in the last decade, we know what we're looking at here. So it's fun to talk about these sports and the eras in which they were truly American sports and right on the front page of the paper, above the fold. You know, they were important and have people from Western New York who were part of those and at the top of those games. I think it's fun to compare that, particularly in those eras.
Been an interesting discussion all day. Here's a discussion, NFL true or false, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York Artisan Cheese. I bet you missed this when you were on vacation.
I did.
Did you ever say to Sarah, Sarah, true or false? You're looking at some animal on your safari saying, true or false, a giraffe is taller than a rhino. True or false? No, you didn't get into it?
You know, I didn't do that because they wouldn't have been up for it.
True and false, not presented like by Yancey's Fancy. Here we go. Did you see this? Quinnen Williams, the Alabama defensive lineman, going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft in 4 weeks. He had a visit with 49ers executives in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They took him to dinner. Did you see where he wanted to go?
IHOP.
IHOP. Quinnen Williams makes the right choice, pancakes over steak at IHOP. True or false? I'll say true. Sure. Go for it. Go, you know. Yeah. You're driving the bus here, Quinnen. You can go wherever you want, buddy. True.
I've never been to Tuscaloosa.
They got to have better than IHOP.
They might. But you know what? I think it's a really smart move. I will say yes. It's a smart move by him.
Why?
You want to go someplace where you're comfortable.
Ooh,
and that's what he did. You're in a tough situation. You're in a stressful situation. You want to make the best impression. You want to be someplace where you know the terrain.
Comfortable dumping syrup all over those flapjacks?
Comfortable with the menu, comfortable with what's going on. You're not going to, you know, you might even know people in the joint.
Yeah.
I think it's a really smart move by that guy. So I'm going to say true.
We both say true.
Yeah.
Part two, NFL true or false. Dez Bryant, wide receiver, free agent, will be a steal wherever he winds up. That's what he says. That's what he told people. The former first-team All-Pro tore his Achilles tendon in his practice with the Saints last year. He says, I'm going to light some blank up this year. I'm excited, he said in a tweet. He's 30 years old, coming off a pretty serious injury. Dez Bryant says he'll be a steal wherever he winds up. True or false? I'll say false. I don't think so. I think he's at the tail end of it, and he just needs to show somebody that he's healthy. I don't know if he'll be a steal. What do you think, Steve?
I agree. I think that's false. I don't think Dez Bryant will ever play another down. He might get a tryout. He might get a contract. I don't think he will ever see the field in a regular season game again. So I think that's false. I think he's finished his career. They had a good run in Dallas, no question about it. He was a physical specimen. But tearing your Achilles at 30, he is not going to be a steal if he signs someplace. I think he's going to struggle to ever play another game.
I agree. Finally, NFL, true or false, Michael Bennett to New England was the best acquisition by anybody in the offseason. So far, Michael Bennett. That's what Mike Sando said ESPN reporter Mike Sando. I'll just read what he said. He said, I like the Patriots acquiring Bennett, knowing they would get a third-round compensatory pick for losing Trey Flowers. Bennett is 33 and could decline at any time, but the Patriots are getting short-term and long-term insurance without handing Flowers the $18 million deal Detroit gave him. Michael Bennett, the best acquisition of the offseason. You want that one? You want to go first?
I'll go first. No, that's false. Yeah, that's good. Crazy. Jump on it. That's Jump crazy on it. Talk. You're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. going to the to the Browns. You're talking about all the every free agent signing, and Bennett is the best one. That's not even close. No.
No. And to use the compensatory picks that may or may not come their way is a stretch, I believe. No, that's false. That's not true.
I think that's crazy.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. I got one more thing to ask you, Steve, but I'll wait until after the break. And it's about the owners' meetings, which began yesterday in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, and a competition committee vote on an onside kick alternative. We're going to talk about that, among other things, when we come back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, so what have we learned from today's show, presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider. Bills. I think we learned a lot today. I feel enlightened today. We had E.J. Gaines on the show, cornerback, just signed to a new contract, coming back to the Buffalo Bills, comes back to a crowded field at the cornerback spot, and we talked to E.J. Gaines about that.
I hope there is, you know, a lot of depth and a lot of competition at the cornerback position, you know, because from what I've learned, teams is better, you know, the more competition, you know, the higher the level rises for everyone. And, you know, I'm all for the competition, all for coming in and, you know, let the best man win. And it's all fun in the competition also.
And this time you get to start it in the offseason. Last time you came here, it was middle of August, right, mm-hmm. when they traded for you.
Yeah,
it's got to
be
different.
Oh, it's 100% different. You know, I know the team. I know the defense, I know who's going to be where, I know what I'm supposed to do, I know what I should be watching in the offseason, and before I get there, you know, it's a lot that goes into it, but I'm so excited to get back to it, and I think the sky's the limit for myself and really this defense.
Good to have E.J. Gaines back on our show, back with the Buffalo Bills, signed today with the Bills. We also on the show today talked with Brian Daboll, Bills offensive coordinator, who took some time out of his little vacation time to talk to us about Rob Gronkowski, who announced his retirement. Daboll coached him 3 years with the New England Patriots, and this is what he had to say about Rob Gronkowski and his work ethic.
He was a competitor. You know, he got to the building. He was, you know, serious in meetings, took his craft serious to practice, did whatever he could do in terms of, you know, eating the right thing, working out, being on top of his body, you know, had some injuries there throughout the career. Some of those are fluke things and other things he battled through, but did everything he could do to help his team be successful. And that's what you appreciate about Rob.
Brian Daboll, who coached him for 3 years, said about Rob Gronkowski, who announced his retirement on our Twitter poll today. Is he, in fact, the greatest athlete ever spawned in Buffalo, Western New York? And Vicky in Buffalo on the line with us. Vicky, what do you think?
Well, I don't like him at
Vicky?
All. I called because I saw...
Oh, why not?
...when... And I was looking for basketball scores, actually, and I just ran across you. But if I had to vote for a player, I would go with Spahn. But the reason why I called was because, you know, everybody's talking so good about Gronk. Did you guys forget what he did to one of our Bills when he was down on the ground?
Nope, that's probably been mentioned a half dozen times in the show.
We remember, Vicky. I mean, yeah, so, and you're never going to forgive him for that, Vicky?
Yep, no, I won't. And see, people that do stuff for sports, I don't think they play for the love of the game anymore. And I'm more of a baseball fan, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, I love the Bills, I love the Braves, I love all the Buffalo teams. So, I love sports, but...
Thanks, Vicky. We got to move along because we're almost up against it here. On our Twitter poll, when we asked the question, Gronkowski's retirement sparked this question, who's the greatest athlete ever to come out of Buffalo, born and bred in Buffalo? And the Twitter poll showed that most respondents believe it was Patrick Kane. It is Patrick Kane. 46% said Kane, 27% said Gronkowski, 15% said Warren Spahn, 12% said Bob Lanier.
Of course, there's a lot of people that we couldn't get. We only had four options, you know. We had four slots we had to use for the poll. There, guys like Christian Laettner didn't get on. John Jones didn't get on, the MMA guy. You know, Abby Wambaugh didn't get on. I mean, so there's a lot of athletes out there that we could have put on, but these are people who were actually born in Western New York, and so it wasn't, it didn't include people like, well, Khalil Mack or you know, Jim Kelly or Thurman Thomas or those guys.
Hey, the owners are meeting in Phoenix. Nothing yet as far as rules changes. They might change the onside kick. The competition committee voted pretty overwhelmingly, Steve, to change onside kick to once a game, fourth quarter, instead of, if you don't want to try an onside kick, you can go fourth and 15 from your own, I believe it's a 30-yard line, 35-yard line. What do you think of that?
I agree. I think it's great. You can't get an onside kick now with the way the rules are and the way they may change the line alignment. You can't. You just don't get any onside kicks. So giving them a fourth and 15 option is great. I think it gets your stars back on the field. You get Josh Allen back on the field. You get Tom Brady. You get the stars back on the field. Let them try and win the game again with a fourth and 15. I think it's a great move. I think they should have done it a long time ago.
We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. We anticipate some of the rules will be approved over the next 24 to 48 hours. Sean McDermott, we'll hear from him at the NFL owners' meetings also coming up on tomorrow's show. Thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. Thanks for tuning in. Steve is back. You coming in tomorrow?
I think so, yeah.
Steve's back tomorrow as well. One Bills Live from Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.